I'm Tom Shivers with the Vending Business Show, here with Larry Towner, who has been in the vending business for many years and a few years ago sold a majority share of his vending business. Today he mostly provides consulting. In the last show, Larry talked about how to start a vending business, and we'll pick back up where we left off. So Larry, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Tom.
Last time you explained that sometimes people get in the vending business but don't realize what they're getting themselves into, like what kind of person does well in the vending business, and then you shared some information resources to help people get off to a good start. What other tips do you have for people getting started in the vending business?
Well, one thing, Tom, that I always try to stress to people is that the vending business is just that. It is a business. And if you're looking to get into a business, you need to have a sense of organization and or planning. And I tell everybody to be very careful when you get into the vending business to make sure that you write a business plan of some sort. Now, it can be as simple as sitting down with a pad of paper and just writing out some of the concerns and some of the things. We try to keep people to be aware if they go to some of these seminars that they see in the newspapers and things like that, to be very careful of those things. These guys are professionals at selling equipment and things that are not really of professional grade, and so they make it sound very exciting and very dynamic, and they give you an idea of the kinds of money that you can make, but what they don't do is they don't tell you the whole story. And so I tell people to really sit down and really think this through and give, you know, put pen to paper, write yourself a business plan. Now, you don't have to write a business plan that's designed for going to the bank and getting financing, but you might need to do that, but that's a separate issue. It all depends on what your goals are. But have an idea of what you're trying to achieve, number one. What's your goal? Are you looking to become self-employed? Are you looking for additional income? Are you looking for a part-time business or a retirement business? And what are your goals within those kinds of things? And that's where you start. And then you try to cater the vending business into those aspects of what you're looking for. And don't forget things like what people are most common is what they present in a lot of these shows and things like that, is they say, you know, gosh, you're buying this for a quarter and you're selling it for 50 cents and you're making 100% profit, and how can you go wrong when you make that much money? And this and that. Well, at the end of the day, what they don't tell you is that you have to sell four items to make $1. You have to provide, you have to pay for your equipment and all your expenses out of that $1 that you make in profit, and you had to sell four items. And when you think about it, if on the average person's paycheck, if you had to make your paycheck, how many items would you have to sell? And people don't even do that basic math. And when they think about it, they go, wow, I have to sell 4,000 items, or I have to sell 10,000 items, or whatever it is that the particular person is looking for. And out of that money, too, what they always forget is that they have to have a vehicle, they have to pay for fuel, they have to pay for insurance, they have to pay for the machines, they have to pay for repairs, they have to pay for all the things that a business has to pay for just to be in business, which includes telephones, and there's hundreds and hundreds of books on writing business plans. But you need to sit down and really think about it. You can't just say, wow, I'll run this out of my garage and it'll just be, you know, clean and easy. It can be that simple, but it can also not be that simple. And so it starts with a good understanding of the numbers and how much profit you think you're going to make and how much can you make per account and per machine. And which brings up a different issue, a few different issues that get into the planning. But some of the things that in discussions with some people wanting to get into the business, I say, well, what kind of potential accounts do you think you have? And they would give me an idea of what they have. And they say, well, I can't lose. I'm going to buy a new machine and put it in there. And I tell them flat out, you know, it's going to take you 10 years to pay for your equipment. So, you know, have you even thought about that? And they go, no, I haven't. And they have opted out. So that's one of the biggest keys to success, is to sit down and actually do a business plan of some sort, write out what you want and how you think you're going to get there, and then walk backwards through all the steps and all of the things that it might take you to do to get to that number, and just give yourself some, you know, kind of a reality check. If you jump into this thing, you can obligate yourself for thousands of dollars and end up having very little income coming out of it. So that's one of my biggest things when I tell people, if you're going to get into the business, it's a business, do a business plan.
Mm-hmm. And you've been in this, so what is a realistic goal for someone, or maybe a couple of them?
Well, again, it just kind of depends on what you're looking for. The way I started in the business, and this has an amount of relevance, is I actually went to work for a guy in the vending business, and I worked for him in the vending business, and he basically taught me the vending business, and we went over it, and I got to see what it takes to be in the vending business, what accounts are, what products that sell, and things like that. So that's where you get into your, when you get into your goals, it's like, where do you want to be? If you want to be fully self-employed, my suggestion is that you go work for somebody first, understand the business, and then back yourself into the business. If your goal is a part-time income, like say you want to work, a retirement income, or you're perhaps a woman that has children at home and you think you can run this on a part-time basis and things like that, those things are obtainable. It's just a matter of getting down to the actual numbers and your time. You have to really be able to allocate your time out to figure out, you know, when you can actually get this work done. Because it is quite a bit of work. I mean, it requires you being there. You have to go and fill machines, and you have to be available for repair on call and things like this. Or you have to be able to work with your customers to make all those things work out.
Yeah,
and again, it's difficult. You just have to be able to do that kind of thing.
Let's just say, for instance, I've got four soda machines in pretty high trafficked areas, not far from where I live, and I want to do it on a part-time basis. Can you give me some suggestions as to how much time and resource that would involve?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking a good high volume location, a drink machine can hold, depending on whether you're doing bottles or cans, a drink machine can hold in the neighborhood of about 300 bottles or maybe 600 cans total. And you're never going to run that machine completely out. So if you're running, say, cans and you're running at 75 cents and you get a big machine that holds 600 cans, you know, you want to refill it at about a 200 can point. So you'd be hitting in the neighborhood of, say 400 times 75 cents is about $300 in gross sales. Out of that, you're going to pay for half of your money goes to pay for product, which gives you $150. And, you know, if you're doing that once a week or twice a week, you're in the neighborhood of you're going to do a single net profit of about 100. If you do it twice a week, you're going to do $300 a week. That's a pretty high volume location, to be honest. That's a very high volume location for somebody doing just drink machines without a snack machine associated with it or food machines, things like that. So what you'll find, too, is when you get out there that in the marketplace, you might have this concept that you want to do one thing, like, say, just drink machines, but the reality is it's tough to get the really high volume locations in just one avenue for it. But that would give you $300 in single net profit in a week, and then your expenses to do that, it would take you 2 days during the week to do that, and it's going to take you approximately, it's going to take you probably an hour, maybe an hour and a half to actually service those machines to fill them up. So that gives you kind of an idea of what you're going to have. Then you have support time, what it's going to take you to actually get the product and load that into your truck, get it out to the locations. You're going to have, you're going to have a warehouse if you're going to do that kind of volume and things like that, or you're going to spend a lot of time running to the local Walmarts or Sam's Clubs or Costco or BJ's or whatever. So you're probably going to have 5 or 6 hours per machine to do that in total time.
Per week. And I imagine if it's in a high volume area that the turnover rate might dictate the best times to refill the machines, or does that come into play?
Yeah, the timing is always an issue as far as when you you want to be there in what I consider to be an off time when there aren't people there wanting, you know, product all the time. And if it's in a commercial location, that's usually, you know, not on the hours, like you're going to be mid-hour and not at break time. In a commercial location, in a street vending kind of location, you're going to want to be there at night or something like that. And so all of that does play. It's just, a lot of that, we call those account dynamics, essentially, is when, you know, what's the best time to service it? Is the facility open at those times? You know, do you have what I call extended hours? Extended hours to me are any time that's before 7 o'clock in the morning or after 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because that really opens up a huge ability to do work when at times when otherwise it's soft time. You're guaranteed pretty much to get into most locations between 7 and 5. The question is, can you get in after the hours or before the hours to get you the extra time that you need?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole concept of dynamics in an account and how you manage your accounts and all of that. And that's a whole topic for a whole show we can do in the future.
Well, any other tips for people getting started in this business before you?
Probably one of the biggest tips that I can give also, along with a really strong business plan, is to actually go out and do a few sales calls and go try and find an account. A lot of vendors try to get into the business backwards, and I say backwards in that they go out and they buy a bunch of equipment, and then they go out and try to place it. And my philosophy always has been is that you actually do that in the reverse. You go out and get the account and then place the equipment, because the account will dictate the equipment that you buy. If you go into a very large manufacturing facility that has, you know, many hundreds of employees, you need a different set of equipment than if you go into an office situation that has 50 employees. Or you're in a street vending situation where you're outside, you know, that requires a different piece of equipment than something that you're putting inside. So you want to be able to go out and make a few sales calls. The other thing that will help you, if you make some sales calls and you actually obtain the business, or you get an idea, if you go out and do a survey, more or less, if you go out and talk to, you have a target market in mind that you worked on when you did your business plan. You say you want to service, it doesn't matter, say commercial industrial accounts. And you go out and you look at what your competition is doing out there, you'll see what kind of pricing they have, what kind of equipment they have. And if you talk to people, you'll find out what kind of service level they get from them as well. And all of this falls in under a lot of it falls in under the planning stages. The other thing that you can find out too is if you go out and you call on a certain number of accounts and you find a common thread in what your competition is doing, and then you have to figure out a way to get around what your competition is doing and offer more so that the company will actually change vendors. Or you find a particular vendor that doesn't do a good job, and you know all the points to hit, so you can go replace him when you run into him and you walk into an account and you say, oh, it's XYZ company. Are you? And I ask lots of questions in a sales thing, so I say, hey, are you having this problem with XYZ company? And if you know that company, you'll know that they are indeed having that problem, and you say, well, wow, you know, and you can just sell them right out of the place. So that's something I say to people. You've got to be able to go in and sell a little bit. And if you sell beforehand, you'll know everything that you need to know beforehand. And if you come in and you go, just for example, say you buy brand new equipment, you've invested $5,000 for a snack and soda machine or $6,000 for a snack and soda machine, just depending on what you buy, you need to generate X amount of dollars out of that equipment or you're going to be in the hole. And if you don't do that, you're going to be in trouble, because you can't place that everywhere. You can't go out and put that into a smaller account. You'll just have too much money invested into that equipment to actually turn and make a profit at it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know that's kind of an entrepreneur quality that would say, hey, I want to sell some of this stuff before I decide I'm in the business.
Right. And that's, I tell people to do that in the vending business consistently. If they don't, they can really get themselves into financial hot water. I get phone calls even today on a regular basis where I'll have, you know, people say I've got a warehouse full of such and such equipment and things like that, and I can't, I can't place it and I can't sell it. And, what would you buy it for? And unfortunately, you end up insulting them because you can't really give them anything for it. So that's kind of a situation that you do run into.
All right, Larry. Well, thanks for sharing. Tell us a little bit about your business, your consulting business.
Well, the consulting business is basically we help new vendors and experienced vendors really optimize their companies or get a good idea of exactly what they're doing. One of my goals with new vendors in particular, and this is going to sound funny, but I try to talk them out of the business, And it's not in a bad way. I just want to make sure they understand what they're getting into before they make that jump, because if we can save them some heartache, I guess is what it is. I mean, I've actually seen marriages come apart because of the vending business, and because it's never what they expected. And so we try to just make sure people understand completely what they get into, and that's what we do. And then on an established business, we can come in and we can just look at how you run your operations and make sure that you're running it at an efficient and profitable mode. And we're always amazed. We learn things every day doing this, but that's what we do.
And what's a good way for someone to contact you?
Generally over email. It's servicegroupinternational@earthlink.net.
All right. Service Group International, all spelled out?
All spelled out.
Okay. At earthlink.net.
Earthlink.net.
All right. Super. Next time we'll be talking about the question, is vending a reliable business venture? You've been listening to The Vending Business Show, a publication of A&M Equipment Sales.